The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
The effects of the sexual revolution have been disastrous, and your kids are the ultimate victims.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, biblical scholar and cultural commentator, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice for moral sanity and spiritual clarity. Call 866-34-TRUTH to get on The Line of Fire. And now, here's your host, Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome to the broadcast. Michael Brown, so glad we could have this time together. If you'd like to call in, if you have a question of any kind, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Are you ready for an eye-opening broadcast? Are you ready to have your, your heart burdened, your eyes open, your emotions stirred? Yeah, that's exactly what's going to happen. But as always, friends, my pledge to you, as your voice for moral sanity and spiritual clarity, is we will not get your blood boiling unless we get your faith rising. So I'm going to present some things that are upsetting, that are concerning, that are grievous, that some of you are experiencing in your own lives or the lives of your kids. But God is at work, and there is redemption. That is where we start. Okay, what prompted this? As I very much live in these realities, the things I'm talking about, it's not like something new that I'm hearing for the first time. But I was annotating my next book, finishing the end notes for not my next book coming out, but the next book I finished writing, so two books from now. And I was looking for a video clip, which we're going to show you in a bit. And again, it is heartbreaking. And you'll be hearing it on the radio, but those watching, it's more heartbreaking to see. And I'll paint a picture for everyone listening. But I found out that there was a book on the same subject as the video I was looking for. So I ordered the book, got it over the weekend. I showed it to Nancy. I thought, what in the world? Now, nothing new. Nothing I was unaware of in the least. In fact, I've got a stack of books sitting here on my desk, and the stack could be, I don't know, it's a few inches high now, a couple inches high. It could be a couple feet high probably if I brought in all the books like this. I had children's readers, but many of them are in storage, so I just got some of the more recent ones. So I'm going to share that with you. But first, we're going to go back in history. Before the sexual revolution of the 60s, before the Kinsey volumes that sparked so much of this in the 40s, and the first Playboy magazine in 53, let's go back in American history. You know, we often hear these days about the many wrongs in our history and things that we did that were evil and unchristian, but there was a lot that was Christian, there was a lot that was good, there was a lot that was right. This is from my book, Saving a Sick America, and I put on my reading glasses here. All right, this was from 2013, New York City announced an aggressive, comprehensive, and quite graphic curriculum that would consist of one full semester of sex ed in sixth or seventh grade, meaning beginning with kids as young as 11, and in ninth and tenth grade. So I said I'm going to go back in American history. First, some of the bad stuff from 10 years ago. If you've got little ones around, you may want to put some music on to distract a bit. High school students go to stores. This is part of the curriculum from 2013 out of my book, Saving a Sick America. High school students go to stores and jot down condom brands, prices, and features such as lubrication. Teens research a route from school to a clinic that provides birth control and STD tests and write down its confidentiality policy. Kids ages 11 and 12 sort, quote, risk cards to rate the safety of various activities, including intercourse using a condom and an oil-based lubricant, all kinds of explicit sex acts. Teens are referred to resources such as Columbia University's website, Go Ask Alice, which explores topics like sexual positions, sadomasochistic sex play, phone sex, and more. This is a curriculum for children, New York City, 2013. Now, let's contrast this. Oh, Noah Webster's Blue Black Speller, first published in 1783. Are you ready? With its opening sentence declaring, no man may put off the law of God. This was a reader for children in our schools in America. Good children must fear God all day, love Christ always, parents obey in secret pray, no false things say, mind little play, by no sin stray, make no delay in doing good. This is one of the readers for little children in America in our first century or so of existence. Century plus of existence. So yes, it was for a Christian population, understood, but it was unashamedly using Bible and Bible truths in the teaching and training. Now, I'm not saying you can introduce this in public school today where you've got diversity. You do it in a Christian school for sure, but in public schools. But this wasn't public schools back then. That's the point I'm making. All right. Oh, let us see here. 1824 edition of Noah Webster's Blue Book. It says this, lesson one, no man may put off the law of God. My joy is in his law all the day. Oh, may I not go the way of sin. Let me not go the way of ill men. The last lesson states, as for those boys and girls that mind not their books and love not the church and the school, but play with such as tell tales, tell lies, curse, swear, and steal, they will come to some bad end and must be whipped till they mend their ways. Obviously, corporal punishment was part of the lifestyle then. I'm just contrasting then to where things have gone as a result of the sexual revolution. Let's see. Webster's reader was used throughout the land, containing pages of moral warning, exhortations based on Proverbs, passages from Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, a short recap of the history of creation, and a closing moral catechism. Webster, art thou a young man seeking for a partner for life? Notice it does not say a sex partner. Obey the ordinance of God and become a useful member of society, but be not in haste to marry, and let thy choice be directed by wisdom. 1836, the first McGuffey reader was published, which taught the ABCs along with Bible verses. This reader was looked at as an eclectic reader which combined instructive axioms and proverbs, fundamentals of grammar, and selections of the finest English literature. 1892, Kansas Teachers Union declared, if the study of the Bible is to be excluded from all state schools, if the inculcation of the principles of Christianity is to have no place in the daily program, if the worship of God is to form no part of the general exercises of these public elementary schools, then the good of the state would be better served by restoring all schools to church control. So if you're going to get rid of these Christian foundations, better put the schools back under the control of the church. How about this, again, the New England Primer. I downloaded the 1777 edition. Here's the ABCs. A, in Adam's fall, we sinned all. B, heaven to find the Bible mind. C, Christ crucified for sinners died. And on and on. You get the feeling. All right, now, let's get to the book that I ordered and got over the weekend, titled The Hips on the Drag Queen Go Swish, 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 by Little Miss Hot Mess. Yeah, by Little Miss Hot Mess. Some of the pages here. Tell you what, rather than read through this book, a little bit different from In Adam's Fall, We Sinned All, or Christ Crucified for Sinners Died, learning the ABCs, this is meant to be read to toddlers and little children. What can I say? The pictures and the normalizing of this. Let's watch a video where these very words now are put to life. And I'm going to describe what you're going to see. There's a man, he's shaving his beard, he's putting on glitter, then he's putting on his whole drag queen outfit, And there's a sign he has on the wall behind him. I'll tell you the content of that in a moment. But let's just take a listen, and those watching, take a look.
Getting ready for work. A meticulous process that involves shaving, glitter, hairspray, and a wig. But instead of performing in a nightclub,
hi, hello.
The venue is the Brooklyn Public Library in Park Slope at 10 o'clock in the morning.
Who wants to be a drag queen when they grow up?
Little Miss Hot Mess.
Who is ready for a story?
Is the host of Drag Queen Story Hour.
This one is called Worm Loves Worm.
Talking, singing, and reading.
We can both be grooms.
To an audience of preschoolers, toddlers, and their caregivers.
The hips on the drag queen go swish, 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 swish.
All right. The place is packed. The library is packed. Kids sitting on the floor. Toddlers, little children, mothers holding babies in arm as they swish their hips. Listen, this is not watching a clown perform. This is a man who is dressing up as a woman, who is promoting perversion. And I have a hope that in posting this video and in talking about it during the show, that some of you get burdened to pray for this man, that he would really encounter the Lord. A lot of us did a lot of foul things before we were saved. Some of us were very self-righteous, church-going hypocrites, legalistic judges. Others were blatant sinners like me, shooting heroin, using LSD, even stealing money from my own father. Others were somewhere in between. Others involved in all types of perverse acts that you'd be ashamed to even talk about. God had mercy on us. And Jesus died for the worst of sins. So I don't condemn this man. I said, let's pray for him. But this is child abuse, and the parents are either massively ignorant or complicit in this. And how does this guy speak of himself? What's his self-identification? I tell you what, I didn't even spot it on the video until my team pointed it out. There, he's got like a plaque on his wall where he lays out who he is. I am a bad stuff coming, just a warning. I am a lesbian, butch, pervert, girlfriend, bulldagger, sister, dyke, and proud. Let me read that again. This is on his wall in the video as he's about to go to a library with little children. I am a lesbian, butch, pervert, girlfriend, bulldagger, sister, dyke, and proud. If that's not perversion, I don't know what is. And to parade that in front of little children is absolute perversion. This is where the sexual revolution has brought us. This is where the casting off of right and wrong has brought us. This is where the throwing away the standards of God and the wisdom of God, this is where it has brought us. Much more to come.
This is Michael Ellison, founder of Trivita Wellness. I'm always thrilled to offer a new product from Trivita that is science-supported with equivalent doses per serving that follows the science. And that is true of our KSM-66 Ashwagandha with its protective process from farm to manufacturing plant. The KSM-66 has 24 published gold standard clinical trials in reducing stress, enhancing sleep, and increased vitality. In a recent Harris poll, 87% of Americans feel stressed. I know the effects of chronic stress. It happened to me a number of years ago, and I will never forget when the physician said, "Michael, you must change the way you think about life and health, or you will have no quality of life, and you will die a premature death." Now, I can assure you, Ashwagandha KSM-66 is in my daily diet. Trivita has a special offer of Ashwagandha for you as listeners to The Line of Fire. If you buy one at $19.99, you will get one free. Plus, you'll receive your free new digital book, A Healthy Church Starts with a Healthy You, by Dr. Brown, with your order. The message of Dr. Brown in this book, it rings clear in spiritual clarity. Dr. Michael Brown shares his own story of his journey to wellness, along with his wife, Nancy, and they reveal 10 most important steps to a lasting life transformation. Whole body wellness is not a pipe dream. It is God's dream for you.
To order, call 1-800-771-5584. Use promo code KSM66 and receive one bottle at $19.99 and get one free, along with your free digital copy of Healthy You. Or go to TRIVITA.com and use promo code KSM66. Call 1-800-771-5584. 800-771-5584.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get on The Line of Fire by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks for joining me on The Line of Fire. Okay, I'm doing something I don't think I've ever done before. Maybe it happened once. Okay, I was signing a book to send to a pastor that I met a few days ago. My book that Nancy and I wrote, our book, Breaking the Stronghold of Food, all right? How we conquered food addictions and discovered a new way of living. I was supposed to sign it to a pastor named Mark. I was signing other books to a pastor named Bobby that I had met, but I mistakenly signed this to Bobby. So here's the deal. Bobby, any Bobby listening, the first Bobby that calls, if you want to read the book, Breaking the Stronghold of Food, you can. It can be for you. It can be to give to someone, as long as they want to read it. So the first Bobby, you have to be Bobby who calls, the first Bobby who calls from any station in America listening live right now or watching online live, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. You got to be named Bobby and interested in the book. I will send it to you free. So Truth, first one that calls, get their info, and we're done with that. Okay, for everybody else, of course, you can order the book, but any order you place with Trivita, we want to send you free a mini book that Nancy and I wrote, a free mini book, A Healthy Church Starts with a Healthy You. It'll inspire you, it'll encourage you, it'll give you practical steps, challenging but practical steps to take that could just transform your life, might just save your life. It's only 10,000 words, so it's an easy read, and it's free with any order of any size at Trivita. I'd encourage you to take advantage of the special 50% off offer with the new KSM 66 Ashwagandha. I just ordered bottles for all of our staff to check out just as a gift to them. So call 800-771-5584. 800-771-5584. Whatever order you place, make sure you ask for the free download. Remember, 100% of your first order is donated to The Line of Fire and over tithe of all subsequent orders. Or, if it's easier, go to trivita.com, use the code KSM66. And welcome to so many of you that ordered for the first time last week. I get sent the info because it encourages me that you're joining the wellness revolution and helping us reach more people on the radio. Okay, before I take your calls, 866-34-TRUTH, before I take your calls, a few other books that I just had very accessible that weren't stored in boxes so I could find them. Okay, how about this one? Who Are You? The Kid's Guide to Gender Identity. And of course, you know who you are. You may have a sex assigned at birth, but people get that confused with gender. You weren't born male or female. You had a sex assigned at birth. I remember reading about this stuff maybe 15 years ago and thinking, what are they talking about? Now it's normal language, and it's in children's readers. Or, oh, let's see this one. Neither. Oh, what's that about? Little cute little bird or ducky on the front cover, and what's that about? Well, maybe you're neither, could it be that you're neither male or female? What kind of you? I'm both. You can't be both. You must be neither. I'm neither. Oh, so, okay. Pouring this into impressionable little children have no concept whatsoever about sex or sexuality. And even with gender roles, all kinds of confusion. How about this one? Pink is for boys. Pink is for boys. Friends, this is why we've been shouting for years. This is why we've been raising our voice. Not shouting at people. In fact, I was so blessed. Maybe you're listening today, but I was preaching at the congregation we helped found many years ago, Fire. So my home base, ultimately. And hadn't been there in a long time, was preaching. And afterwards, a number of you came up to me and thanked me for the show, listen regularly, your spouse listens regularly. But to the one woman, met you, your husband, and your son at the service, telling me with tears how listening to the show from the start when we first went on the air in 2008 has changed your perspective and has given you a love and burden for those who identify as LGBTQ. And as they start coming into the church and finding freedom and forgiveness and new life, that you want to be there as a spiritual mom for them. You want to be there to reach them. You want to be there to help them. And I just blessed to hear that heart. And that's what I'm seeking to get into the hearts and minds of everyone. I'm not shouting at people. I'm grieved over a sinful, destructive agenda that is hurting children, that is negatively influencing society, that is bringing us to the point where you've got lawsuits now from 18-year-old girls who had their breasts removed at 13 and were put on hormones that did irreversible damage to their body just because they were going through a time of psychological confusion. I mean, it is medical malpractice on steroids. It is social madness, for sure, for sure. So here's another one, the gay BCs. Little toddlers learn the alphabet with this. You say, well, what are the end results? The end results are countless kids who are deeply confused, who are making terrible life choices that are irreversible. The results of the sexual revolution more broadly in terms of promiscuity, in terms of kids born out of wedlock, in terms of sex just being recreation and not associated with procreation. So put aside homosexuality and all that. The facts have been many, many broken lives. A generation that's lonelier than ever. And of course, there are other factors, the rise of social media and how that plays out and things. But more depressed than ever. More suicidal than ever, more self-hating than ever, more insecure. You just go down the list, and a lot of this is a direct fruit of the sexual revolution. Friends, please hear me. God's ways are best. It's not a matter of us trying to enforce our morality on everyone. So your neighbor is a guy and his girlfriend lives there. It's not for you to say, well, you're going to hell because you're sleeping with your girlfriend and... No, it's your role to be a neighbor and love that person, love that couple, get to know them, and as you're able, to bring the gospel to them. Yeah, at a certain point, sin comes up, but there's the living together may be the least of the issues. That may be just what they do, and it's not even a big deal to them. You know, they've slept around a lot now. They want to be more committed, and they're thinking about getting married. In their mind, they're taking good steps. It's not a matter of us enforcing our morality, being the morality police driving through our neighbor like, I don't know, that skirt's a little too short. No, we're not the morality police. We're not doing what the morality police actually do in a country like Iran and Saudi Arabia, where they do drive around. The woman doesn't have the burqa or the hijab or whatever it is and not properly covered. And no, we're not seeking to do that. We will fight for the lives of the unborn and do our best to advocate laws accordingly. We will seek to work to reverse the disastrous Supreme Court decision that normalized same-sex, quote, marriage, redefined something that fundamental to society, because we believe overall that you're now legislating for society as a whole and in a wrong and negative and destructive way. The fact is, If we stay with male and female, he created them, having great compassion on those who struggle with gender identity, especially with the massive confusion that's being put on them from these drag queens and a thousand other sources. If we hold to male and female, he created them, then you don't have these endless deviations and endless gender preferred gender pronouns and so on and so forth. If we hold to the sanctity of marriage and sex, something beautiful and sacred within marriage, then you're not going to have all the illegitimacy. You're not going to have ultimately all the kids in fatherless homes. You're not going to have all of the destructive negative things that come out of that. God's ways really are best. You're not going to have sexually transmitted diseases. You're not going to have that because God's ways are best. They're life-giving. That's what we've come to learn as his followers, that he made us and his laws are for our best. And when we conform to them, it brings life. It brings life. Let us undo the disastrous effects of the sexual revolution by living out, modeling God's ways and presenting those to a confused world. And may those that we have spoken against in terms of their agenda, may they come to know the grace and love of God. We'll be right back. Hey friends, Dr. Michael Brown here. Do you remember when people thought I was crazy when I said it's not too late for America, that God can still do something in our country, that there is going to be a pushback, a gospel-based moral and cultural revolution? And do you remember when people thought that you were crazy because you felt the same way, because you believed what I was saying and already felt it in your heart? Well, friends, that pushback is here. The gospel-based moral and cultural revolution we've been talking about for 25 years is unfolding, and we are right in the thick of it, and the Line of Fire broadcast is divinely positioned for such a time as this. Friends, you would be so gratified and blessed as I hear, if you could hear what I hear, testimony after testimony as leaders, young people, old people, moms, dads, students, people from all backgrounds come up to me and say, Dr. Brown, you're providing a template for us. You're providing a blueprint for us. You're showing us how to do this, how to have hearts of compassion, backbones of steel. But friends, it's a joint effort. We do this together. And with your support, we can amplify this broadcast around the nation and amplify this voice to shake the nation. Join our support team today. Become a torchbearer with a dollar or more per day. Here's the number to call to sign up. 800-538-5275. That's 800-538-5275. Or go to askdrbrown.org, askdrbrown.org, and become a monthly supporter. Click on Donate Monthly Support. I want to immediately give you two classic books, Compassionate Father or Consuming Fire, Who is the God of the Old Testament, and Revolution, which will really show you what it means to be a Jesus follower today. Plus, you get free access to our online classes and so much more. Sign up today, askdrbrown.org.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get on The Line of Fire by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks for joining us, friends, on The Line of Fire. Hey, question for you. Do you trust my voice? Would you like this voice to be getting out to more and more pastors and leaders around America, to more and more believers around America, and infusing each one with faith and truth and courage, helping us have hearts of compassion, backbones of steel, as we now have a wide open door to blanket America on some of the biggest and best stations? Just our expansion so far this year into three major new stations has opened up potentially 20 million listeners in those different areas, many of whom we were not reaching before. So as I reached out to pastors, friends of mine for years, I've never asked them for anything, and said, hey, we have this opportunity. Would you like to put us on your monthly support? I've been blown away by the response. They've actually thanked me for the opportunity and said, we believe in what you're doing. So I'm inviting you to partner with us in a very, very sacred work in this great burden to help get the Church of America healthy and strong so that we in turn can bring health to the nation and we in turn can provoke Israel to envy. Join me in this sacred mission. Join me in this radio revolution, this wellness revolution. Here's the number to call, 800-538-5275. It's our joy to broadcast to millions, potentially reach millions every day through all the platforms we have for free. All the content that we put out day and night is free content with joy. Article after article. You don't have to get past a firewall to read what I'm writing day in, day out, with rare exception when I'm asked to write an exclusive for someone or for we teach a whole class that someone registers to take. But everything we put out for free to reach the maximum number of people. But we do it as a sacred partnership. And I want to invite you to join with us. You can go to AskDrBrown.org, AskDrBrown.org. Click donate, monthly support. But before you do, I want you to read everything that we will pour back into you for a dollar or more per day. All the classes you get for free, all the material you get, free books that we send you, discounts in the bookstore. If you go to Israel, well, there's a discount on the trip. So we want to sow back into you. That's our goal. We want it to be you can never outgive us, and the more we pour in, the more you pour into us, the more we pour into you. It's time, friends. Things are happening. The tide is turning. So my last point, then we go to the phones, 866-348-7884. Any question of any kind, I am very happy to interact with you today. But I say this last thing. I said at the beginning, we won't get your blood boiling unless we get your faith rising. The pushback is continuing because many people, well-meaning people, sincere people, didn't want to be bigots, didn't want to be homophobes. It's got a family member that's same-sex relationship, and they're nice people, hardworking and devoted and good neighbors and all. You know, why should we tell them that their love is invalid? Who are we to say that it's not real marriage? You know, why are we so hung up on our way of doing things? And they want to be tolerant. It's some of you. You want it to be accepting. Hey, you know, your niece, she's a sweetheart of a girl. She's finally happy in this relationship with another girl. And in fact, the other girl had a baby that, you know, and now they're going to raise that kid together. And it's beautiful. I don't want to be a bigot. I don't want to, you know, isn't this like another form of racism? So you ended up saying, okay, I support that. And went to the, it was a little different for you, but the same sex wedding. And you met a lot of lesbians and gays there. They were nice people. And why are these Christian fundamentalists so bigoted and so hateful and so homophobic and so biphobic and so transphobic and so narrow-minded, not to mention misogynist and other things? Why are they so hung up? But see, you didn't sign up for where it went. You didn't sign up for the drag queen shaking their hips to little children saying, who wants to be a drag queen when you grow up? Giving them some kind of image that that's a cool thing that you want to do. So you didn't sign up for that. You didn't sign up for your 14-year-old daughter coming home from school crying because there was a boy in her bathroom. You didn't sign up for your 15-year-old daughter coming home traumatized because she had a change in the presence of a boy who stripped down before playing on the same sports team with her. What? The Charlotte Observer years ago said that kids will just have to get used to the presence of, you know, other genitalia in their locker room. I mean, it's absolutely perverse statement. The Charlotte Observer made the comment. This is the thing that our present administration, for whom we pray, our present administration is championing this as children's rights, transgender rights. You didn't sign up for any of that. And you are among the many millions of Americans saying enough is enough. Then you're finding out that trash, like I mentioned in some of these books, in a sophisticated way, is being taught to your kids in schools, and they're being indoctrinated with this. You think, whoa, time out. This is not what we signed up for. The revolution is underfoot. It is underway. It's at hand. It's happening. But the church must lead the way. We must be the salt. We must be the light. We must be the moral conscience of the society. we must want be the ones ultimately working with others of different backgrounds. If I was in Montgomery County now, pushing back against the no opt-out policy, so they're going to teach some of this perverted stuff to our kids. Montgomery County, where we used to live in Maryland, they're saying you can't opt out. You can't opt out. Your kids have to be there or they'll be penalized for missing a lesson. I would join with the Muslims there protesting against this. And if there were atheists protesting against it, just in a matter of principle, we would join together to fight that common cause. And I would do it with respect for the religious convictions of the Muslims. And I would do it without trying to criticize the atheists and say, well, how can you have morals if you're an atheist? No, I would stand side by side for the common good. Just like if there's, you know, an earthquake or a hurricane or some natural disaster, you work side by side with, doesn't matter who the people are, there's somebody trapped in that building. Let's go dig them out. Let's go try to help them before they die. And you might be digging side by side with someone who's a member of a cult and someone who hates organized religion and someone, you know, but you work side by side by side for those things. But ultimately, when it comes to changing the minds of a society, when it comes to changing the laws, when it comes to changing perspective, the church has to lead the way. Otherwise, what will happen is we push, 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 but it's natural weapons. 2 Corinthians 10, Paul said that we live in this flesh, we don't fight in the flesh. So we live in the world, we don't fight the way the world fights. Our weapons are spiritual. We overcome evil with good. We overcome hatred with love. We overcome falsehood with truth. We overcome the flesh with the spirit. So we're ultimately fighting a different war in a different way. One that doesn't intimidate through numbers and screaming and yelling, but turns people's hearts through love. We may turn out in numbers, but our numbers are not going to be shouting epithets and ugly things and insults and mocking. No, we'll be speaking the truth, but we'll be doing it in love. Paul writes in Colossians 4 that our speech will be seasoned with salt and full of grace. That's what we'll do. And hopefully we'll draw people to Jesus. And then as their very lives are changed, they will become lasting advocates. So the church must lead the way. Thank you for your partnership. Thank you for standing together. Every torchbearer, every supporter, everyone who prays for us, thank you. Together, we are making a difference. Those discouraged, those living in rough regions, states, difficult school districts, tough spiritual environments, God's on the move. Things are happening. Be encouraged. All right, we go to the phones. We start in Louisville, Kentucky. Brian, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hey, thanks, Dr. Brown. Appreciate you having me on. Just had a quick, I'm kind of hearing an echo, but I'll try to my best to do the question. Hopefully I'm still coming in clear to you.
Yeah, you're clear to us. Yep.
Good deal. I was going back and forth with an Orthodox Jewish friend recently, and he brought up a couple of verses, and I'll say them if you want to bring them up when you go to answer. One is 1 Chronicles 16, 15 through 16, and the other was Deuteronomy 29, 29, but I think there are a lot of other verses that go along with what he was arguing, that it says the Mosaic Covenant was going to be eternal, or that's how it was spoken of, and how do we as, I didn't really have an answer for him, how do we as Christians deal with, because obviously we know that Paul writes, you know, the Mosaic Covenant comes to an end. How do we deal with those texts?
Yeah, so they're great questions. In fact, there are many, many verses that speak of the Sinai Covenant being forever, for all generations, etc. Deuteronomy 29, 29, a very well-known verse. The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but that which is open and revealed belongs to us and our children forever. So no doubt that's how it was laid out. So do you have your Bible around? Do you have your Bible anywhere in sight?
Let me grab it.
Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 31 to 34. Jeremiah 31, verses 31 to 34. God says the days are coming that he will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah that will not be like the covenant he made at Sinai because the people of Israel broke the covenant. Instead, this time he'll put his Torah, his teaching, in their hearts and minds. You won't need to teach your neighbor anymore saying, know the Lord, for everyone would know him because he will forgive their sins and remember their wicked deeds no more, right? So in short, breaking that down, what that means is, first, it's going to be different. So it was an eternal covenant which was broken over and over and over. The 10 tribes scattered, going into exile. The 2 southern tribes going into exile, then being restored, but still in a broken, decimated way. And then ultimately, the sin reaching such a point of rebellion that the second temple was destroyed, has never been rebuilt. So the new either we've been without atonement and scattered under God's judgment on a national level for 2,000 years, or God has instituted the new and better covenant. Now, the counter argument, so that's just blatant. You just show them that and say it was an eternal covenant, and because of our sin, it was God, we broke it, so God is going to give us a better covenant, right? One that will operate differently, that we won't be able to break the same way. So that's the first thing. Second thing, you point out, as I do in Volume 4 of Answering Jewish Objections to Jesus, if you will go through all of the references, every single reference to forever for all generations in the 5 books of Moses, you will see that roughly 3/4 of them could only be observed with a temple standing and a functioning priesthood and Jewish self-governance in the land. Meaning that through most of our history, we have been completely unable to perform almost all, 3/4 of the, quote, forever commandments. So either we've been left bereft and under judgment with no atonement and inability to observe the Torah, or God has replaced it with something better. So the counter-argument is, well, hang on, he's still going to put his Torah in our hearts. So we'll respond to that on the other side of the break. You can't resist us!
Are you stressed and searching for a natural way to restore balance in your life? Look no further. Introducing Trivita's Ashwagandha KSM-66, nature's science-supported secret to inner harmony and well-being. I'm Dr. Paul Burnett, a board-certified doctor of holistic health and director of wellness services at Trivita. I want you to know that Trivita's Ashwagandha KSM-66 is not just ashwagandha. Ashwagandha KSM-66 undergoes a rigorous formulation process and has 22 gold standard clinical trials. Trivita's Ashwagandha KSM-66 adaptogenic properties assist your body in adapting to stress, reducing fatigue, and restoring your natural balance. Ashwagandha's KSM-66 is shown to support cognitive function, mental clarity, and focus, and is shown to promote deep and restful sleep, so you can wake up feeling rejuvenated and ready to take on the day. Trivita has a special offer for you, the listeners of Dr. Brown's Line of Fire broadcast. Buy 1 30-day supply of Trivita's Ashwagandha KSM-66, and you will receive an additional 30-day supply for free. Plus, you will receive a free digital copy of Dr. Brown's new book, A Healthy Church Starts with a Healthy You. Don't wait any longer. Join countless others who have discovered the benefits of Trivita's Ashwagandha KSM-66.
To order, call 1-800-771-5584. Use promo code KSM66 and receive one bottle at $19.99 and get one free, along with your free digital copy of Healthy You. Or go to trivita.com and use promo code KSM66. Call 1-800-771-5584. 800-771-5584.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get on the Line of Fire by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back to the Line of Fire. If you don't have my app, you may have a question like Brian's, and wonder about so many issues. And what about the second coming or the rapture? Or what do you believe about Jehovah's Witnesses? Or should we go to a same-sex wedding? Boy, I hear a lot of controversy about women in ministry. I mean, it's endless questions, right? Legitimate questions, different ones we have. We've got so many resources, several thousand free through the generosity of our supporters, several thousand free resources. So get the app if you don't have it. Ask Dr. Brown Ministries, ASK Dr. Brown Ministries. Explore it, enjoy it, search it, share it with friends, give it a 5-star review if you're enjoying it. And then make sure you sign up to get our emails. You can also do that on the website, askdrbrown.org, askdrbrown.org. We'd love to get you in our welcome program and be a blessing to you and serve you everywhere we can. We put out the materials for your benefit, not for ours. So please take advantage of them. Okay, so let me go back to Brian in Louisville. Now, what's cute is you said it's a quick question, and you asked it very concisely. It's a big answer, right? You know, it's a quick question, but it's a big answer. So here's the counter question that a religious Jew would raise. You show them Jeremiah 31, verses 31 to 34. All four verses quote it completely, following the Septuagint version, in Hebrews 8, and then in part in Hebrews 10. I've often mentioned this, but this is the longest single passage in the entire Hebrew Bible quoted in the New Testament. So it's interesting that it's the New Covenant promise to the house of Israel and Judah. A traditional Jew would say this: it's the same Torah. The difference is that whereas the Sinai covenant was something we could break because it was external, that this is now internal, and God will give us the ability to keep it. These are my words, paraphrasing what a traditional Jew might say. And that's the difference. It's the same Torah. It's the same Sabbath observance. It's the same dietary laws. It's the same commandments. But now we're going to automatically obey. Well, hang on. We know that Torah, teaching, has many, many meanings in Scripture. It can mean a specific law. This is the Torah of the burnt offering, right? This is the specific instruction concerning the burnt offering. It can just mean teaching, like Proverbs 3, B'ni Torati Al Tishkach. My son, don't forget my teaching. It can be used in numerous different ways. In fact, when a traditional Jew refers to Talmud Torah, study of Torah, he's talking about all of rabbinic literature, right? And Torah can just mean things that you have to learn to get divine insight on. There's a famous Talmudic story about a rabbi with his disciple. The disciple follows him everywhere, even to the bathroom. Well, this is Torah too. I have to learn, like how you live. That's Torah. So Torah can have a wide range of meanings. It doesn't specifically or explicitly or only mean the content of the five books of Moses. In fact, that's not even the primary meaning. When it's normally spoken of Torah Moshe, the Torah of Moses, or things like that, it's referring to the legal content within the five books as part of the Sinai covenant. The point is, it clearly changes. The content clearly changes in the new and better covenant. For example, if your sins are forgiven once and for all, your iniquitous deeds forgiven and no longer remembered, then why do you need a day of atonement? Why do you need a day of atonement? For what purpose? There are rabbinic traditions that state in the world to come that the only sacrifices that will be offered will be thanksgiving offerings. Thanksgiving offerings. In other words, you won't be having sacrifices for blood atonement because there won't be sin. What about all the laws concerning the dead? What if no one's dying anymore? So obviously, there are certain changes. There are even some rabbinic traditions that would indicate that foods that are now prohibited will be permitted in the world to come. So all that to say, the change in circumstances also necessitates a change in content. And what exactly that looks like is not spelled out there. So bottom line, when your religious Jewish friend comes up with great verses and says, this is to continue forever, you can say, actually, because of our continued failure, and Jeremiah being one of the last major prophetic voices before Israel's fall, before Judah's fall, that Jeremiah, seeing the failure of the people under the Sinai covenant, now prophesies a new and better covenant, which will not be like the Sinai covenant. Certainly, in its nature, in terms of one being external, the other being internal, but also, friends, also in terms of some of the content, in terms of some of the content which will necessarily change. All right, hey, thank you for the call. I hope that was helpful. Okay, I realized after one of the shows last week, I'd said I was going to read content to you, a quote from one individual, and he was rebuking me for my view that according to the Bible, that we will be here as believers through whatever tribulation, great tribulation is to come, and that God will preserve us from his wrath, right? He can shield us. He has ways of doing it. What he found the way to, he didn't take Noah off the earth, did he? No, he gave him an ark to survive. Noah was in the flood, was he not? Noah and his family experienced the flood. They just had an ark to live through it, but they experienced the flood. Lot and his family saw the fire fall on Sodom and Gomorrah, Lot and his two daughters. His wife, of course, died, and the sons-in-law, or the ones betrothed to the daughters, they died. They didn't take Lot's warnings, the angel's warnings, seriously. But they just went nearby. They weren't taken out of the earth. They just went nearby. And the children of Israel were right in Egypt. You got Israelites over here, Egyptians over here, and the plagues fell on the Egyptians and then fell on the Israelites. So God knows how to protect his people. God knows how to keep his people. In the end of Isaiah 26, God says to his people, come away, come inside here. Come inside here to get out of the way of judgment until it passes by. All right? So that's there. That's in Scripture. God knows how to preserve the godly. But what this fellow said was completely outrageous. And I want to draw attention to it. I'm not mentioning a name. I'm not trying to mock a person. But he rebuked me for saying, isn't Christ suffering on the cross enough? And why would God leave us here to suffer? How dare you think that God would leave us here to suffer? Oh, hang on for a second. This is meant to be solid biblically based theology. So to all the parents who've gone through the agony, which I cannot imagine, who've gone through the agony as a believer of watching your child die of a dread disease, why didn't God rapture you out first? Why didn't God not let that happen? I'm not saying he sent it as a blessing. I'm saying you lived through that hell. You went through that. To all of you who are, as I speak right now, you are bedridden, or you are on your job, but you are in physical agony and have lived with agony for years. Somehow this theology that God won't let you suffer or go through any tribulation, somehow that theology hasn't worked out too well for you. To the millions of Christians through the decades who have been slaughtered for their faith, who have been butchered, who have been beheaded, who have been buried alive, who have been starved to death, who have rotted in miserable prison conditions for decades until they died, who have had their own children taken away from them, who at this moment are suffering deprivation and threat of death for their faith. Somehow, God didn't take them out first. It's one thing to say God will not pour out his wrath on his children. I believe that. So as we're here, in times of tribulation, testing, the wrath of Satan, the wrath of man, that always comes our way. It'll just intensify as we get closer to the end. And when God's judgment and wrath is poured out in a sinning world, he'll protect us from that wrath. We agree. Some of you say he'll take us out in the rapture. I say he'll protect us right here. But we agree he'll protect us from his wrath. But the idea that we're somehow exempt from suffering, or that Jesus dying on the cross exempts us from suffering. And I'm telling you, the wording was that blatant, that ugly, that wrong-headed. Who comes up with that? Unless everything's just going great in your life and you live in a country like America where you're not faced with a death threat for following Jesus. But friends, Jesus says it, John 16:33, in this world you will have tribulation. But be encouraged, I've overcome the world. Paul preaches it with Barnabas in Acts 14 in Antioch. What does he say? He says, you must go through many tribulations to enter the kingdom of God. What does Paul write in Romans 5? That we grow through tribulation. Character is developed. What does he say in Romans 8? What shall separate us from the love of God? Love of Christ. Tribulation? No. We're made for this. John writes in Revelation 1, I, John, your companion in the tribulation and kingdom and suffering that are ours in Jesus. And at the very least, all of this includes persecution, hatred, rejection, maybe imprisonment, maybe death. Certainly it includes those things. That's part of our life in God. What a bizarre idea that Jesus suffered on the cross means we don't have to suffer. No, it means we receive forgiveness for our sins and grace carry us in the midst of suffering.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.